come to God in and through ourselves, but through Christ. If you turn into that chapter Mike read earlier, Haggai chapter 1, it's a very interesting chapter, and as you probably know, it's Israel in captivity for about 70 years, and God promised after 70 years they would come back, and some of them came back, and some of them for some reason didn't want to come back. Well, these come back and they started to rebuild the temple and the foundations, and then it kind of suffered some persecution and it sort of gradually tapered off. And this is 16 years later, and the message really from Haggai was, look at your own houses, they're fine, they've all been repaired, you're living okay, but the house of the Lord is being neglected. And so the message tonight, I suppose, is, are we working for God or for ourselves? And it didn't really gain out of it, because it talks about but there is no more, and they earn in wages, and the wages are put into a bag of holes. That's inflation. So if we don't put God first, these other things are not added. We never gain out of it. There's no gain in going against God. So seek ye first the kingdom, and these other things will be added. And this is what the people had to learn. So there's many churches, many people in them, doing their own thing, not doing God's will. It doesn't help the church, because that becomes run down. It doesn't help their own lives, because God's not going to bless them in that situation. And this was the state in this situation here. And we look back, thank God, over 211 years of witnessing the area by God's grace. And sometime, at some point, God has stirred people up to work and to keep this church going. No doubt there's been times where there might be quite a few people coming to the church, but only a few people stirred to do the work and to keep the standard up. And so the first thing we learn from this book of Haggai then is to put God first. It's no good working for wages. It says the bags have got holes in them. Your life will just be empty without God, like the prodigal son found out. God must come first. There's no gain against going against God. And Michael read this chapter, that the Lord in his mercy now stirs up Haggai to come and tell these people. The word that the Lord came to Haggai, verse 3, and telling them, they are to consider their ways, in verse 5. And it's good to look back over the years and think, to consider our ways. What are we really coming to church for? What are we really reading the Bible and praying for? Is it to give us some sort of stimulus or to make us feel religious? Or we can say to ourselves, we're at peace with God? Consider your ways, and I say to the people, because they're not in God's way. They were going their own way. And we can easily deceive ourselves. We can easily deceive ourselves. Self-deceive. John says in his letter, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And this doesn't just mean a general statement, if we say we have no sin. If you're sitting here tonight and you haven't considered your ways before the living God, and you're saying, well, I'm not guilty of this, I'm not guilty of that, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. First of all, we have to come to the consideration, don't we, that we're all sinners, and that the wrath of God abides naturally on us. Because he is a God of love, but he's a righteous God that must punish sin. And we've seen it recently on the telly. This man is going to get away with all these crimes. People say, terrible judgment. And what if God just let people do as they wanted? He would be an unrighteous judge. And God is righteous and must punish our sin. Consider our ways. And there's only one way back to God, and that is through Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is our sin that we need to consider and deal with, and to turn from it and see Jesus' wounds on the cross, that he died to pay the punishment for our sins, that we might have peace and fellowship with God, not just to save us from hell and his torments forever, that terrible place, but to bring us back into fellowship with God now, and to have peace with God now. Consider your ways. So this is what our guy's telling them to do. Look at your life. You're doing all this work, you're exhausted, you're tired, and you're still not satisfied. Put it into the bag with holes. doing these things in your life, not finding any satisfaction. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And so I say this in love. This is not a message of unkindness. He wants what's best for them. And so God in his mercy stirs up Haggai to go and tell these people that they're to do the work of the Lord. He says in verse 9 that his own house is in ruin. It's in waste. Well, your houses are okay. And then in verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, listen to this, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God has sent them. And the prophet did fear before the Lord. And then it says, in verse 14, and this is my favourite verse in the whole of the book, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord their God. Are you being stirred up tonight as I'm preaching this by the Spirit of God? We've had a weekend of preaching on the anniversary. We had a blessed message yesterday and this morning. Have you been stirred by the Spirit of the living God to serve him better? To be dedicated to him better? To be more holy? To be more obedient? This is what we need if we're going to rebuild the Church of God in the UK and in the local vicinity. And this is a gift of God. God sent a preacher. Hang on. Remember, God sent John Whitfield. He sent Wesley and Whitfield and other great men. These were sent in God's graciousness. And what did they do? They preached. And as they preached, the Spirit of the living God stirred their spirit and they served God. And they turned from their sins to God. This is what we need in our day, dear people. People who preach in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. And Ezekiel talks about the dry bones. What are we going to do with these bones? They're dead. What are we going to do in our churches? What are we going to do in the UK? We're seeing dead. He said, preach to them. And the Spirit of God came and they moved. We need the moving of the Spirit of the living God in our lives. And we have to say, are we moved? Are we being moved by the sermons today? Are we moved tonight to serve and put God first? That's what I was doing. Stir the people up. To stir the people up. So that they will live according to the word of God. And so they were stirred up and they start to build this temple. Then in verse 9 of chapter 2 it says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. Which was hard to understand because this temple was going to be quite small compared to the other one. But of course it's pointing to Christ. Or we might say, well, the days we live in, they seem very small. The day of small things compared to the revivals of the 18th century and all them people being saved, the Spurgeon coming along and being used greatly of God. Do we, you know, it's just a small world. Do not despise the day of small things, says the scripture. It is still work for God to obey. And so, in verse 4, he gives them a word of encouragement. And be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the Lord, saith the Lord. And work, work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Why do we work? Why do we witness on a Saturday morning? Why do we ever go door to door? Why have we got this service tonight? Because God is with us. And we're doing the Lord's work. It's not ours. Battle is mine, says the Lord. Battle is mine. And we're called to do it in a holy way. In verse 14. So every work of their hands and that which offers is unclean. What is he talking there? Well, he's saying in verse 13 about, is one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? Well, the Old Testament law was if you touch the body of the dead, you become unclean. And we're carrying around a dead body. Our wretched man I am will deliver me from this body of death. We've got the old nature in us. Thank God it doesn't rule us anymore. But it's there. And every time we sin, we touch the old nature. We touch it. We fall into its lurings, in its deceitfulness. It's called the indwelling sin. And it's there all the time. And if we don't recognize it, we'll fall into it. We'll touch it. And we sin. And we're unclean. And God has called us to live a holy life. What is it we watch? Well, Jesus watched that with us. What is it we think and do? Is that the way Jesus would think and do? What do we wear? Is it modest, as it says in the scriptures? How do we live our lives? Be ye holy, as I am holy, says the Lord. Vessels to be used for God, to be holy. No, we're not preaching perfectionism. We know we've got many infirmities and weaknesses, and we're still sinful, but we're looking to Christ. We're doing what we can. We're fighting the good fight. We're fighting the good fight. And so we have to ask the question, has the sermons, recent sermons, this weekend, has it stirred us? Has the Spirit of God spoken to us through the preacher and stirred us to say, I want to serve God more? I want to be more holy? If we haven't, dear people, we've got to say, whose fault is it? Is it God's? No. Is it the preacher's? Maybe. We need to pray for him more. Or is it our own fault? We should be stirred when we come to church. You shouldn't be out after this service tonight. You shouldn't be out to sit at the back with a cup of tea and eating and not feel changed. We should feel changed and stirred. And radically changed and stirred. That's the people here word, to go out and serve God afresh, to be dedicated to him afresh, to build his church. This is not an isolated text. Remembering one of my favourite books in the Bible, Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, something similar happened, didn't it? He had to build the walls of Jerusalem. And he had to get permission from the king, and he comes and they start building the walls. And as soon as you want to do God's will, you're going to get opposition. In chapter 4, verse 3, they say to him, that which they build, as if a fox would go up. Even he shall break down their stone wall. We get that knocking, don't we? Especially pastors sometimes. They're not going to do any work there. God's not going to bless them. They were despised. And they were said, first of all, they were reproached. It says, so built we the wall. They still built it. They carried on. And all the wall was joined together until the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. They were stirred to work. To serve God. And then, you get the persecution coming in. The people that didn't like it. That's conspired all of them together to come to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder the work. You'll always get opposition when you're doing the work of God. Nevertheless, verse 9, chapter 4, Nehemiah. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decaying, and there is much rubbish. So that we're not able to build the wall. Is that the finish of it? It stops. The world stops. Why does it stop? Because the burden on the burden bearers was too heavy. And their strength was decaying. And you can, as a church member, as a deacon, as a pastor, you've got the burdens, and you're doing, as the preacher said yesterday, you're doing the same things week in and week out. And it can become very heavy. And the burden can become too heavy. And your strength decays. He said, because there's much rubbish. This rubbish could be our infirmities. We look inside and see our weaknesses. How can we carry on? It could be something outside. Maybe we're getting into material things too much and getting too much in the world. And this is taking away our strength and our time and our energy. The rubbish. What a lot of rubbish, you could say. It needs clearing away. We need to look at Christ. Not ourselves. If we put things before God, we need to put him first to serve him. So that we're not able to build the wall. Is there anything stopping you from building the church of God? Anything coming before God? Anything, any rubbish in your life that needs putting out? And then again, the people tried to make them fear. And this was Nehemiah's answer. Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. You see, we don't carry on from year to year in this church just for ourselves. We're going to die and pass on. We're doing it for future generations. We're doing it for our sons and our granddaughters. Because we want this to be a living church for God in the future, preaching the same gospel. The future of the church is at stake. We must serve. serve God. This world, Nehemiah says, must carry on. The future is at stake. And the world carries on because God is with them. And he says, when it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to know all this against us, all the accusations, all the attacks are brought to know by God, and we returned all of us to the wall, everyone until his work. And this is what was going on in Haggai, wasn't it? The work of God was carrying on, serving God. So if we go back to Haggai now, and we see something very similar that we've seen in Nehemiah, dedicated people. Someone stirring the people up to work for God. Tell me, is God asking you to do something tonight by Spirit in the church? It might be something small. Maybe you think, I can't do it. I always think of Mary Magdalene when she went to the tomb. There was a big stone there. And she said to the person with her, how are we going to move the stone? I said, well, we don't know, but they went anyway. They went to someone who they thought was a dead saviour. So when they got there, the stone had gone. If we go forward in faith, because God is really calling us, that obstacle will be removed. And God will give us the grace. I remember Tara saying about Mary Magdalene, what an example she was, dear people, to us. Here she's going to seek a saviour that was dead in her eyes. Early in the morning, it says very early. How early do you get up on the Lord's Day morning? How many excuses do you make? Is your excuse that Christ is dead? That could have been her excuse. My Saviour's dead. It's the end. I'm not going. But she's going. There's a stone covering the sepulchre. I'm still going. I want to see my Lord. I want to serve him. I want to embalm him. And she had a lovely, blessed surprise that he was alive. When we seek God, we will get a blessing. He will reveal himself to us in a wonderful way. And so, this book of Haggai, one of my favourites, because these people were stirred up by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, to serve him. And so they built the temple. And God encourages them to do so. And he says in verse 22, something here, two chapters in Haggai, I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And we see all these opposition, but God's going to overthrow them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. God will give us victory if we go forward in faith. The battle is mine, says the Lord, it is mine. The battle is the Lord's, it is my ours. And so, as we think of the past year in the church, and thank God for the witness he's given us. And as you know, I've been in the church many years, and I'm so thankful to God for bringing me to this church. So I walked by it for 3 months. And the Lord kept saying to me, you must come in this church. And I came in and I heard the gospel. I'd heard it 2 or 3 years before. Not in this church, in another one. And I made a mistake of going to my local church of England. And not once in those 2 or 3 years in the church of England did I hear the gospel. Not once did I hear the word of God preached from the word. And when I came in here, I could have cried with tears. I'd found the word of God. I'd found, as in Pilgrim's Progress, the evangelist. He said, listen to the evangelist. Don't stray from him. And now I've been in this church by God's grace many years. I don't want to stray from the truth of God and the gospel. If you find a good church, find a good church and stay there. Stick to the truth as we heard this morning. It might not be perfect, but pray for the preacher, pray for each other, show the love and affection, forgiving each other, bearing with one another, be kindly affectionate one to another. And when people walk in, they'll know that God is there and through the preaching of the new world. How thankful I am when I look back that I walked in that day. I was getting into the cults. I had a pile of things from the cults I didn't understand, and I didn't get any teaching in the church I went to. I remember giving them to old Pastor Thomas, a pile of them, and he went like that. And he said, bring them back to me in 6 months. First of all, I want you to hear the word and to read these books. And it was all the old Spurgeon and the blessed preachers of God. And after 6 months, I didn't need to go back, because you know the truth. Once you know the canon of the truth, you measure it against heresy. You don't study heresy, you study the truth. And you measure it, and then you know what. So I'm thankful for this church. from the day the Lord brought me in here, and that is why, by God's grace, I always wanted to be a beacon of the truth. Who knows? God's to make all my life I did. Seeking the truth, seeking God. And thank God, this church is still here. There are many other churches around, I'm not judging them, but don't preach the gospel. Pray that at least the Lord can touch his spirit, their spirit, and bring them in here if they are seeking salvation and the Lord. Obviously, it's the Lord that stirs up their spirit to see. And so, when we look at Agar, we think of the church being built and continually built. And that's what we're called to do in the year coming up, the year 2012, to serve the Lord. I pray, God, tonight, that only yourself, myself, are stirred by the Spirit of God, what we heard yesterday, the blessed sermon, and this morning on truth, to serve him afresh. What's wrong with putting God first? What's wrong with serving him? Could there be anything more enjoyable than serving God and being in his presence and doing the work? Could there be anything more worthwhile than doing the work of the Lord and serving him and building his church like a temple? There's nothing better. We can all make excuses. I could write a book on excuses. They're my own included over the years. I remember my brother-in-law was not converted. I invited him to a Christmas service. I didn't have much contact with him because they're in Kent and I'm in London. And he said, I would come there. But he said, this was on a Thursday. I've already bought the roast joint for the Sunday. So he can't come because he's got to cook the roast joint. Why couldn't he cook the roast joint later that day or the day before? But in their minds, that's the excuse and they really believe in it. And Christians can do that too. Make excuses for not coming to church and serving God. There's a story someone once told me. He said the church of God is like, I'm not accusing anyone here tonight, this is an illustration of some of you. It's like a big bedroom. And in this bedroom, all the Christians are in it, and they're all asleep. And they're saying, please don't wake me up. And this preacher said, wake it up, you sleepy Christian. And he cried Isaiah, but he says, rise and shine. Put on strength. Put on God. And work for God. Wake it up, you sleepy Christian. What did Paul say to Timothy? Stir up the gift within you, Timothy. It's there. Stir it up. Through the word, through obedience, through coming to services, and serve God. So as we look forward to the coming days, we look to God to build his church on Christ, on the gospel, and may his spirit stir us to serve him. We are a chosen people. It says right at the end of that guy, and I'll make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. That's why God's plan cannot fail, because he's already predestinated it. He's already planned it, and he will carry it through. Like we heard yesterday in the wilderness, he brought Israel through. And before the foundation of the world, it says the Lamb of God was slain. Do you realize that Christ was slain for your sin before the world was created? That's what scripture says. He really couldn't be any other way, could he? How could Christ die on the cross for the sins of the people we didn't know we were going to believe in him or not? It's all part of God's plan. It's all done. So when we get our doubts and our fears and we've got our worries and our problems that come upon us, we must remember that we're in this plan of God, this plan of salvation. And it's not really us, it's God versus Satan. And there's only one winner. And we're to trust in God in it all. So I just pray tonight, if you forget everything else, we must ask ourselves this searching question. When I hear the preaching, when I read the word of God, am I stirred by his spirit to more obedience? Am I stirred by his spirit to work and serve him? And if I'm not, what is the reason? It can't be God. Is it the preacher? Maybe I should pray for him. Or is it myself? Is there something wrong somewhere with me? May the Spirit of God stir us all this evening to serve him on the Lord's side. Amen. Amen. Sing our closing.